Hello, if you're a Christian who is struggling with OCD, I wanted to offer some additional support this summer. On Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Central Time in June and July, over 8 sessions, I'm going to be providing a teaching time, a learning experience where you can come learn about managing your stress level, dealing with uncertainty, catching that first obsession before it becomes a loop, dealing with disengaging from physical, mental compulsions, scrupulosity, shame, really any questions that you want to bring to these times, I'm open to talking about that have to do with your faith and OCD journey. And the most exciting part is that you do not have to be in Tennessee to come. So even if you're in another state in the U.S. or somewhere else in the world and you are able to tune in at that time, you're certainly welcome to do so. For more information, go to bythewellcounseling.com. I look forward to seeing you there. Welcome to Hope for Anxiety and OCD, episode 62. I am your host, Carrie Bach, and today I am joined on the show by Courtney Reisick, author of Teach Me How to Feel. She's written other books as well. We're going to be talking about using the Psalms in our spiritual journey, about using the Psalms to connect with God and prayer and meditation. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Courtney, I know that you had a difficult experience that was traumatic for you and prompted you really to dive in, study the Psalms like in more detail. Can you tell us about that?
I had a traumatic delivery with my last son, and it was actually like a medical crisis. But I actually started diving into the Psalms about 6 months before that and was just really interested in them and how they fit together, and how, as I learned more about them, I realized the psalmist was giving us language for the realities of life. It was so interesting at the time that I didn't know that the Lord was using it to prepare me for what was to come. And so I had spent those 6 months diving into the Psalms. And then when I was 33 weeks pregnant, I had a placenta abruption, which is a medical crisis. A full abruption is sudden death for the mom and the baby, but mine was partial. And so I was admitted to the hospital for 3 weeks as we waited for either it to stop or for him to be needed delivered. Really, what happened to me in that time was that hospital bed rest was just really, really traumatic. I felt like every day was a life or death situation with whether or not I was going to have to deliver him, whether we'd be okay. In those days, I couldn't read anything. I couldn't read the magazines people brought me. I couldn't really watch TV, but I could read the Psalms. And I spent so much time in the Psalms in those days, reading and processing and journaling about them. And so that's where I really started to see the psalmist, you're not the first person who'd walked through something that was life or death. And the Lord really met me there and showed me that he understood my frame and understood my struggle and was giving me language for what was going on.
Yeah. But did you feel like, even though you couldn't really describe like what you were feeling exactly, it was almost like when you opened up the Psalms, it really was like, oh yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now.
Yes. Oh yes. I mean, there are so many Psalms where I opened them up and was like, yes, that's how I feel. I feel as though God has forgotten me. I struggled a lot emotionally after he was born, kind of that. And I struggled with guilt over that because I lived and I had the best case scenario, but I still had all of that trauma that I had to work through. And even then I had a lot of darkness and postpartum depression. Even in that, the Psalms really helped me see that I was not the first person who had felt darkness or felt like God's hand was against me or felt like I had sorrows in my heart all day or anxiety in my heart all day. So it really did give me words when I didn't have other words for what to handle.
Wow, that's good. How did you process those emotions as they came up? Just, you know, feeling like God had forgotten you, or maybe other concerns that you had, you know, sadness, anger, fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. I was just talking to a friend about kind of how I processed it. And it took me a long time to realize that I'm an internal processor. And so a lot of people didn't know that I was struggling for a really long time until like 6 months after he was born, I had shared that I was really struggling. I think for me, I just had to really work through my own thoughts in my own head. And writing primarily for me is just a big way for me to internally process what's going on. That was a big thing for me. I find that when I'm deeply, deeply struggling, that I've got to write to get it all out before I can ever talk about it to somebody else, which I'm a natural born talker, which so people don't think that that's how I process They usually think that I process through talking about it because I talk about everything. But when I'm really, really struggling, kind of work it through with writing and then reading, I didn't have a lot of quiet moments. It was my fourth son by the time this happened. I had four children, four and under. So there were no quiet moments. My husband was really gracious and gave me the time to process. And I will say too, I eventually did go to therapy and that was really helpful. I needed someone outside of myself and outside of my circumstances to really kind of help me work through what we had walked through. I still remember I canceled the appointment a number of times and I had a really good friend who finally was like, I'm going to come watch your kids and you're going to make the appointment.
Yeah, you thought, I don't have time for this, or you were avoiding it because you knew it'd be uncomfortable to talk about?
I think I knew I needed it. Like, I think I knew, like, deep down that I really needed just like an hour a week to sit and process. And I wasn't going to have that unless someone had given me that time. Yeah, I think I was just like, I didn't have the time. I just didn't have the time or the energy. It seemed impossible to me. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just really loving what your friend did to just kind of step in and say, hey, I'll take care of your kids so that you can go take care of you.
Right. And I think sometimes we're afraid, I think as moms, maybe as women in general, to kind of say, I'm willing to do that. It feels too self-focused and mm-hmm. we are kind of conditioned to be like, we're always dying to self. And I think we're supposed to die to self because Christ died to self, like died to himself.
Right.
But we are also not God. We need help sometimes. And so sometimes the most self-sacrificing thing you can do is get help so that you can help others. And I think that's what my friend saw in me, is that I needed that so that I could serve in the way I was called to serve.
I know some people, when they go through trauma and then they get to the end of experience, they're like, okay, it's over. I lived. I should be fine. Like, I shouldn't be having those residual effects. Like, did you understand that it was the trauma that was impacting maybe emotional experiences that you were having? Or was it kind of like you learned some of that later, like after the fact?
Yeah, that's a really good question because I don't think I understood that fully in the moment. And it's been helpful since I've come to realize that I have that. It's helped me love my kids well through it. I had a few people in my life who understood enough of what we had walked through and had lived long enough to say, you're going to have to be working through this for a little while. It took me a while, like a few years, to realize that there were these things that would happen and I wouldn't understand why I would all of a sudden be dealing with it again, even if it was, in my mind, seemed to be kind of unrelated. It's only been as I've learned, it's part of the process of working through trauma, is that eventually it gets better. Like, in hindsight now allows me to say, oh, I was not in a good place then because I'm in a better place now. you know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't think I fully understood in that moment, but I've walked through trauma since then. So I was diagnosed with cervical cancer during COVID it was really, really unexpected. All the markers to kept it just kind of fell through the crack for me. So I had radical hysterectomy really quickly. Because I had walked through the trauma with Ben, with Ben's birth, it didn't make it easier and didn't make it less traumatic, but it did make me more aware of what I was going to need to process what had happened. And the healing emotionally from that was better the second time around versus I just felt like I was blindsided by what happened with him.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's interesting because so many times when we're in survival mode, we mm-hmm. are not aware that we're in mm-mm. survival mode. We're just kind mm-mm. of making the next day happen. Like, I've, mm-hmm. you know, in your situation, it's like, I got four kids and somebody's going right. to feed them.
Right. And you don't realize that you're like deeply not okay. You're like a hair trigger away from like blowing up. And I'm thankful that the Lord brought me through it and then allowed me to give me some clarity to see so that I'm aware. I mean, trauma happens all throughout our lives. And so I'm not sure. naive enough to think it won't happen again. But
what guidance do you feel like you can give us on using the Psalms in our day-to-day prayer and devotional life?
I've used them all different ways. Right now in my life, I've been really convicted over the last year that my prayer life is really lacking. And it's always been like more of a struggle in my own life to just find to be purposeful in prayer. But so many of the Psalms are prayers and written as prayers. And yeah. So one of the things I've done over the last year has been to pray the Psalms and just pray them based on whatever's going on in the lives of the people I'm praying for at the time or my own life. I think that's one way to use them, is to use them as prayers. Many of them are prayers. I think another way to use them is to read them when life is hard and read them to find familiar friends who also understand that life is hard. You know, I read them a lot when I was writing the book. I read them a lot when I was walking through this trauma. I read them a lot when COVID first started because everything felt so uncertain and crazy. And I found in every one of those seasons that the Psalms get the human experience. I think I've heard Tim Keller once say that part of his devotional reading is he reads a Psalm every day because we're always walking through something that the Psalms understand because God is the author of the Psalms and he understands us. And so I think for anyone, it's a really helpful tool in seeing that we have a God who sees. No matter what we're walking through.
Yeah. Just that sense of relatability that we have to, I mean, it's the human experience. It's anger, it's sadness, it's uncertainty, it's fear. And for me, I think it opens up and gives us permission to have a messy prayer life.
Yes, absolutely.
To just say, this is how I feel. And it's messy right now. And I don't get what's going on in my life. Like, it's crazy.
Right. And I think sometimes we're afraid to be like that because we, depending on like our theological tradition, we are so prone to wanting to have it all put together and to sound like we're trusting the Lord and that everything's going okay. And I think that's the reality of the Psalms is that they're not afraid of the struggles and they kind of reorient us to acknowledge that and stop pretending like everything's perfect and that we'll be able to respond rightly to everything at all any given time.
Yeah, that we don't have to have polished prayers all the time.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Tell us about your book, Teach Me How to Feel.
Yeah, so that book was born out of our experience with Ben, and it kind of takes us through 24 different psalms and walks through how the psalmist experiences the feeling and then how the psalmist experiences God. There's also a study guide that goes along with it to kind of help you add more depth to it if you're trying to really kind of work through the psalms. But the heart behind it was that a person who is walking through some could open up and look at any emotion that they're feeling at any given time and find language for their struggle. They're short chapters. And they're designed for like, if you're walking through struggle, you need something short and accessible. Sad ones, there's happy ones like joy and forgiven and different ones like that. And so it's not all sad songs, but it's really intended to show you the breadth of the Psalms and the breadth of how God gives us language in the different struggles and joys and sorrows of life.
Good. How can people get in touch with you if they want to kind of find out more information
about the book?
Yeah, or just if they want to get in touch with you, do you do speaking engagements sometimes? Or
I don't do them as much as I used to. So COVID really slowed down. It kind of gave us like a little bit of a reset of like, is this what we want for our season of life right now? And so I don't accept a lot of speaking engagements throughout the year. I accept maybe like one or two outside of Arkansas where I live. And I'm also on staff at my church recently. So that takes up a fair amount of my time. And I have a website that I should update more than I do, CourtneyRysick.com. When I feel an urge to write something, I primarily put it on Instagram. So it's just my name, Courtney Rysick.
Okay, awesome. So when you were struggling, if you could go back in time, like what encouragement or hope would you provide to your younger self?
That's a really good question. So I would provide, so my younger self, I would say, trust the long game. That's kind of the thing that I would tell younger Courtney is that what seems like an impossible thing right now seems like God's not going to work that out for you right now. God plays the long game in life. And so it's kind of the message of Psalm 1 where the one who meditates on God's word day and night is like a tree planted by streams of water. And what we know about trees is that they don't grow overnight and transformation doesn't happen overnight. And so the life spent in the word, the what life spent trusting in the word made flesh, Christ, is one that is grows over a lifetime. And so that means that there are seasons like summer where everything is going really well and the tree's in full bloom. And then there's seasons like winter where it seems like nothing's happening. And I think I spent a lot of time in my 20s and towards the end of my 30s now. So most of my 30s, not trusting the long game, not trusting that God was working, that God had a long-term purpose in view when he was working in my life or in the life of anyone else. I think it's probably the greatest struggle of just younger people in general is we're so instantaneous and that's not how God works.
Yeah, I think that that's so good just to have a little bit more for ourselves of an eternal perspective that what God's doing right now, you know, we may not see the fruits of it for many years, something that we're investing in. You know, you could be investing in kids or teenagers, and you may not see the fruit of the day-to-day what you're doing until many years down the road, you know, or the difficulty that God's bringing you through right now is the difficulty that you're going to be helping somebody else walk through in 10 years.
Right. Right, right, right. I mean, there's in our own life, we've seen in just the last few months an answer to prayer that we prayed for 10 years.
Wow.
And I mean, that's just a long time. To be honest, like there was like whole years where I stopped praying for it, you know, because I just didn't think it was going to happen. So I think that it's the benefit of getting older is you get to see God work over the long haul that you don't see when you're younger.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. Hopefully that encourages some younger people out there that are wondering why something isn't happening right now.
Right. Yeah.
Courtney, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to talk with us about these things. And I hope it expands and encourages people's prayer and devotional life, or if they're going through a hard time, to really just dig into the Psalms and see what God is going to show them and teach them through that.
Over Anxiety and OCD is a production of By the Well Counseling. Our show is hosted by me, Carrie Bach, licensed professional counselor in Tennessee. Opinions given by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of myself or By the Well Counseling. Our original music is by Brandon Mangroom. Until next time, may you be comforted by God's great love for you.